Hi, my name is Lorena Velasquez Hinojosa, and I'm 37. Today's date is June 22nd, 2017, and we're in Chicago. I am a friend of Mary, and I met her through her daughter, Becca, who was my coworker and friend at work.
I'm Mary Babcock. I'm 64. This is June 22nd, 2017. We're in Chicago. And Lorena was my daughter's friend at her job, and we met through Old Town School, and she is the only other person who ever made her a Halloween costume.
So I guess to get started, Mary, I know you've lived in Chicago your whole life.
I lived in Lincoln Square my whole life. So I have very deep roots to the building that houses Old Town School.
Oh, I'm so curious to find out about this.
I went to Queen of Angels. That's right on Western and Sunnyside, K through 8. I can remember when Wells Park Pool was built.
Really?
Our school planted most of those trees that are sort of lining Sunnyside by the pool. On Arbor Day, we'd hike out there, you know, and there used to be a woman, Miss Barnett, who came from Chicago Public Libraries every year to all the schools in Lincoln Square, probably other places too, but and in second grade, you got your application, and if your parents let you have a library card, it was like a huge thing. And I spent from second grade till that library closed, really, in that library, like, my whole life.
Old Town School is currently in the old
building.
Right.
And the auditorium curves, that side of the building, those used to be the stacks, and there were several floors of them. And in the summer, because, you know, back in the old days, not everybody had air conditioning, it'd be hot as hell. The library, you could go, and once you were, like, got a juvenile card, once you were, like, sixth grade and you got the one level up library card, you could go into the stacks, and I'd spend summers in there, and all day Saturday, looking at art books up in the stacks, looking at, you know, reading books in the corner, because the marble was so cool, and the paintings, those were there then.
Yeah, the WP murals that are in the
building. The office used to be the adult reading room. I'm telling you, the different strummer used to be the kids' room, the junior high room. It's just so that always was just such a. I cracked my front teeth on the banister.
You cracked
in the lobby.
Your front
I did. In the lobby. I used to jump off those. Yeah, I mean, just. And when Old Town School took it, I mean, I was thrilled because, you know, that it's such a great building and such a great, you know, and kind of important to the neighborhood.
Right.
Not like anybody, all the new gentrification, those people have no idea. But, you know, for the few people still left that were born and raised in Lincoln Square,
right.
It was great that Old Town School took that place.
Yeah, because the city sold, I guess the legend is that the city sold it to
for a dollar.
Old Town for a dollar.
Oh, it's not a legend. They did.
Oh, okay.
They did, because that was Jane Byrne era. Because Jane Byrne came to Schulter that they built down the way to replace Hild.
Right.
It's not the same. I don't love that library. Still go there,
right.
But, you know. But
yeah.
But then when Beck was in college, she was at Columbia, she took Capoeira over at Roosevelt with Delano Androja, you know him? Dreadlock boy. And he was the guy who, I mean, I'm sure he didn't think it up, but he was tasked with promoting Afrofolk when it very first started, before Mateo, before it was world music.
Right.
Today it was Afrofolk. And Delano would go around to schools and sort of promote it and try to get kids to come with their families to concerts. They weren't all at Old Town. Some of them were at South Shore Country Club, which was fabulous. And so Beck was like an unpaid intern going with him and helping him out and passing out the flyers and all of that. And after a year or so of kind of hanging out, and she would be with Delano at Old Town, she applied and got a job. And I was so proud to have her at Old Town School. I just thought it was the best thing ever.
That's awesome. That was probably, what, 2004?
It might have been 3.
2003 when might she have started?
Been, oh, 3. Because at first, I think it was part-time. Or at first, it was still with Afrofolk, only paid. Okay. And then it sort of morphed into like a part-time. I think it was like, I don't know, 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Which fit her school schedule and worked really well. And, I, you know, she sort of loved it, you know.
Right.
Loved it. Loved the environment she got. She took, you guys got to take 2 classes free?
We got to take, actually, I think we got to take all of our classes free, which however many we wanted at that time, at least when I started.
Oh, no, I think she only was allowed to take 2.
Oh,
but that was fine. She couldn't have took any more than that anyway.
Right.
And, you know, so she, things she would never have done.
Right, it was
she
great.
She did at Old Town because it was just such a great environment. The hula, which isn't what people think it is when you take hula.
Right.
She did swing dancing. She
Tell me about the classes and the teachers that she worked with when she took all these classes. So you mentioned them in the...
Lonnie,
which Aloha.
Is she still there?
She's not there anymore.
Yeah, I
she has
think
her own
so.
Place.
Yeah, has her own thing.
She's still
she did the ukulele and the hula. Taught both of those, and you know she'd be very tough. You know, especially hula because everybody thinks it's, you know, like what you see on television, and it really isn't.
Right.
So much, and I mean, Beck didn't have a ton of rhythm, and it wasn't. You know, she wasn't fabulous at it. but then, I noticed I would go to a lot of the Wednesday concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, there would be, you know, something that the Leilani would do.
Yes.
And I sort of noticed that she was like a big deal in the
Pacific
what do you
Island.
Call it, Pacific communities.
Yeah.
They had, I forget who... what band was there, and so there were a group of people that came from Majorca, I
oh,
believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the women were all dot tatted up with these really, I mean, it was just, and they came almost to pay, like
reverently to
yes,
Leilani.
Absolutely. Yes. I thought, wow, you know, this is, she's not just, you know.
She's a cool.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And so then, she played at Rebecca's Memorial, which I don't think only Old Town School people probably would get that
yes.
was a big deal. That
yeah.
wasn't, you know, I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah,
and,
really
you know, and she
amazing.
Got kind of choked up through Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which surprised me a little bit. And I thought that was something that was just so, you know.
Yeah.
So speaking of Old Town School, I mean, they really, you know. They have a vibe there that's pretty impressive. And then Carlos Gournier,
right,
mm-hmm. who is now a good friend of mine, he taught her conga.
Right.
And then in that whole 6 degrees of separation kind of way, I have a friend who is now a member of Funkadaisy, but he also was a physical therapist at the job I used to work at. And so I already knew some of those guys through my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Beck was at Old Town, especially after she started taking drumming with Carlos, she and those guys got to be really friends. Because a lot of them teach there.
Right.
Whose names escape me at the minute. But the 2 guys with the turbans. And, talking drum. Yeah, I can never... anyway. Irrelevant. And then Carlos got sick.
Right.
And... they live just a couple blocks with Beck and Carlos.
Oh, you guys
blocks
live
away. Yeah, he was on the other side of Pulaski,
right.
On Argyle, and he would come and like sit in the porch and visit with her when she was feeling crappy. And then when he got sick, we would go down and kind of visit him. And say, yeah, he's a great guy.
He was her conga instructor.
Yes,
yeah.
And she then did some. like videography for them because she had, you know, she was in film school and filmed a bunch of their concerts, filmed stuff that's still on their website because she looked at their website and she just thought, oh, you know, you guys, you guys need some help. These are not good, you know. And she did Summer Dance.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, went down and
nice.
Recorded their stuff down there and cut it together. She did a PSA for Old Town School. I have it somewhere. They played it at O'Hare.
Oh, it was a video or was
yeah.
it? Oh, nice.
It was on one of those banners that sort of kept rolling as you're waiting in the airport for things, you know. Have a break between flights? Come to Old Town. Hop on the Blue Line. Get off here and come to Old Town School. Wow. Oh, yeah, that was a big deal. There was a script and about 15 different versions of it. I forget who did the voiceover. Somebody at Old Town. They did some stuff in the basement.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, no, lots of Old Town School stuff.
So she, you mentioned that she was taking capoeira at Roosevelt with her friend, and then she did
with Delano.
Capoeira over
and
at
then, right,
Old Town.
Once you could take it at Old Town for free, that
right.
was fabulous.
I remember she
took
was
it with
really
Emily. You know, a lot of people think it's sort of cult-ish. I don't really think that, but it did, you know, she did, she worked hard at it, you know, I mean, she loved it, and then sort of embraced the Brazilian culture,
right.
you know, she was taking Portuguese, and started hanging out in Dil Costa's classes,
right.
but she never could quite, you know, do any of that stuff, but was able to continue capoeira there. I don't, whatever drama happened with who was teaching it. I don't know. There was always some, you know, some.
Something.
Yeah. The teachers rotated. And I just actually looked at the website yesterday and saw Marissa is teaching now.
Oh.
Like, wow. Again, that's, she's pretty big stuff the world of, you know, one of the few women maestres. So that's impressive.
Yeah, that's good to know because I think that's a big draw for Old Town is the fact that our instructors are really like, they know
top
their
notch.
Stuff. Yes. Absolutely.
Top notch.
Then,
you know, she, when she got sick, and in, you know, as everyone, it wasn't a big deal at first. I mean, so we thought, who knew?
Right.
You know, who knew? But she started writing her blog. I mean, it really started based on right after she had her surgery. She had a very specific kind of ostomy. She did not want to have the standard. She had colon cancer and didn't want to have the. She just said, I'm not having a bag. I'm just not doing that. So find me something else. So there was something else. It was, I mean, I wouldn't have chose it, but whatever. And she had to spend a lot of time in the bathroom intubating, you know, accessing this port to poop, and that was her lunch hour. It was pretty much a little more than her lunch hour. And so while she'd be in there, she would hear, you know, students, parents with little kids, you know, and so she started writing the Bathroom Chronicles in her blog from the bathroom at Old Town School, which started... I mean, she has a fabulous blog. And, you know, started at Old Town.
Right.
What a thing.
I heard, I don't know if this is the right thing, but I remember when she was taking the capoeira class that she was doing, like, you know, moves, and she noticed that she had, like, a bulge in her stomach when she did that.
Yep. That's how it all started.
Yeah. So tell me about how that started, because I don't quite remember.
She was a very tiny girl anyway,
right.
and so this 4 days a week of capoeira, she really got, you know, Iron Woman. And
could you describe why, like, what is it about?
Oh, capoeira? It's very physical Brazilian martial art that sort of mimics dance in a way. The story that I was always told was, you know, when the Brazilians went over and brought back African slaves, just like our African slaves didn't, you know, you wanted to keep them down and not let them, you know, get too strong to take you over. So instead of training in a physical hard martial art, they trained in this fluid sort of dance-like movements, lots of turns, lots of kicks, very deliberate, very sort of slow, you know, I mean, and the Hodas are, you know, very slow, but, you know, you do 40 minutes of capoeira, you can hardly walk at first. I mean, it's very strenuous,
right,
after a while, you know, and so she noticed that she had this little sort of a mass, and she was almost a hypochondriac, went immediately to the doctor, and they thought, oh, yeah, it's a hernia. Probably not a big deal. Don't, you know, does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. Well, okay, don't worry about it. And did have insurance through Home Depot. And was going to, you know, she said, what should I do? And I'm like, you should take it out because, you know, you're very physical. If it's an abdominal hernia, it's clearly not belly button hernia or it'd be sticking out there. So if it's, you know, it could strangulate when you're doing these cartwheels and backflips and things, right, pop through your abdominal muscles and just get rid of it. Then she got fired from Home Depot, so she lost her insurance. So she sort of put it off because it, at that point, was elective. Didn't know about Cobra. 6 months, 8 months, a year, whatever. She still had time. We signed her back up for Cobra when she didn't know about that. So that was like the first thing. Started the process again, and again, same surgeon, and she's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, we'll pick it for a day, and, you know, you should have pre-op tests and whatever. And so while she was having those, in that whole, again, you know, things that were sort of meant to be, I guess, kismet, I guess that's what I'm looking for, she was at the GI's office, because it was part of the whole hernia thing. They shared an office, and the nurse was putting the orders in, and she said, oh, Babcock. I went to nursing school with somebody named Babcock. And she's like, yeah, Truman, yeah, that's my mother. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. How's your mom? How's your dad? And, you know, she's like, oh, my mom's fine, working wherever. Oh, my dad died when I was a kid and of colon cancer, you know, and this nurse was like, ding, 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 ding. Oh, really? Let's talk about that. She had never hid that from any doctor she ever went to. That was always first thing on the thing. Mom's fine. Dad died of this. And so she was the one that that threw a colonoscopy on to her other tests. Had that not happened, she would have died much sooner without that. So, you know, I had to hunt her down off LinkedIn to thank her. So had the pre-op test. And they called me in the room, you know. And I'm a nurse. I should know these things. It's never good when they call you in the room.
Right.
You know, call me in the room. And I was like, blah, blah, blah. And they said, she has hundreds of polyps. This is not a hernia. She has to have surgery now.
Yeah.
And we were about, about to go to Amsterdam for her college graduation present. 7 years of college. Got her a trip to Amsterdam because Marissa, there was a women's capoeira conference, an international conference, and Marissa had not been invited. They didn't even know about her. So Beck actually dug up who was sponsoring this thing and said, how dare you not have my teacher, who is, you know, a prominent, one of the few women that has excelled in a pretty male-dominated martial art, and you can't not have her at your conference. So they paid for Marissa to go. And, I mean, they obviously aren't going to pay for Beck to go, but I thought, well, okay, if we do this cheap, we stay in a hostel, you know, she deserves a present. So we went off to Amsterdam to go to this conference and blew my knee out on the first night. And so she got to really do none of the conference except the last day.
Oh.
because she was running around Amsterdam trying to find me a crutch and trying to, and we had to leave. We had a whole 3 weeks after that planned, and we had to come home. No, that was a good thing. That all was a good thing because I knew I hadn't told her about this.
Oh, she didn't.
I asked the doctor, "Is 2 weeks or 2 weeks, 3 weeks going to really be that big a deal?" And he said, "Well, no. If, I mean, you've already got all this going, so no. But right when you guys come back, you have to tell her, and we have to get on with this stuff." So that was fun. I actually hobbled down to a internet cafe and emailed my boss, who had already had doctor's appointments lined up for us for when we came back. But I didn't tell her. I mean, I don't know. Would I do it again like that? I don't know. But she really did like that conference. It was pretty interesting. So anyway, so yeah, Old Town School was like always into everything. So that sort of started the ball rolling of, you know, if you have to be trapped at a job because of insurance issues, Old Town School, you know, not a bad place to be.
Right.
Again, this is pre-Obamacare. By the way, today's the day the bill comes out. It was pre-Obamacare. So the way insurance worked, if she got a different job and was able to have their insurance, she would almost have to take it. And that wouldn't necessarily cover her treatment that she was getting. There was a pre-existing condition. Networks and all of that. So she kind of had to stay at Old Town. You know, she never got to really work in her field. But Old Town was close, I think. Right. You know, they afforded her an opportunity to make that PSA because she had a degree and was qualified to do that.
Right.
I don't know who was the one who started that ball rolling. But yeah, that was a, who knew that a 45 second PSA was weeks of work.
Right.
And, you know, redoing it and editing and, oh, I don't like the way that sounds. And let's do this again. And, oh, I don't like the way that sounds. Yeah, it was just,
So,
and then they really, Dawn, her boss, I always call her Beck's work mom.
She's our work mom, yes.
You know, was fabulous with the schedule because you can't work, you can, but it's tremendously difficult to work and keep a job and have a chronic illness or a catastrophic illness for sure because doctors and hospitals and appointments, nobody cares that you have a job. They change your thing. Oh, yeah, you know, you got to be here 5 hours. You know, there was a few chemo days that were 8 hours long. I mean, that's, you know. And then you're supposed to work the next day? No. And so Dawn was great about, you know, changing her schedule and allowing her to sort of be late. And, you know, as time went on,
yeah, I remember she even ordered a special chair for
her. Yeah, you know, I mean, there just wasn't, she was a member of the family. It was something, you know. I mean, there aren't jobs like that.
Yeah, no,
there just aren't.
Yeah, we got to know each other really well because we both worked together at the desk. And, you know, the more we talked, the more it was like, oh, you know, I think I worked a good while before I even knew that she was sick. I mean, not that she was closed off about it or secretive.
Yeah.
No, she was very open, but
didn't come up.
No, it just didn't come up. We just had other things to talk about. We're like birthday twins. We were born
the same day. Yep. That's what I told somebody.
Yeah, and so you know, and then when I found out, it was just like, you know, like just one of those things that you're just like, how can this be?
That's what that poem that Julie Stork.
Yeah, Julie
sent.
Stork. Mm-hmm.
Because I remember Beck coming home telling me that was one of the first times that she really, like, got it, that she had to be careful what she said because people didn't take it well isn't exactly what I mean, but they would just be so stunned and they would be, you know, then she would almost feel like she had to take care of them.
Right.
So Julie's poem is, you know, something along the lines of, I remember, you know, the day you said what was going on with you. And just as, you know, how strong and how, you know, like it was just okay.
Yeah, like it was just a minor inconvenience and she was dealing with it.
But Beck's version of that was a little different. She's like, oh my God, you know, I happened to mention, and this poor girl, she like, she, you know, she was starting to like tear up, and then I felt bad and I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have told her. And, you know, but I mean, why wouldn't I tell her? It's
right.
My life. And I mean, it's just, you know, and it really was the first time she started sort of getting that, and also getting that maybe her story should get out there for other people who have, you know, I mean, because people still don't get it, that how many young people have catastrophic things. I mean, it's not just her. She just had a voice.
Right.
That she used pretty well.
Yes.
I think, all things being equal, you know.
Yeah.
She was.
She did. She turned kind of into an advocate. And she
has had an international following. This guy from Scotland, I'm still on Facebook with. A guy, and he used to send her, he couldn't believe that we didn't have universal health care, and he used to send her a box a month of tubes and some other supplies that we really couldn't use. And she kept saying, no, I'm good, I got enough, but she didn't want to hurt his feelings. We had boxes of that stuff that I ended up giving to a free clinic that goes to Haiti to, you know, because what was I going to do with all this stuff? But you know, he just couldn't believe that we had no, you know, you have to pay for that every month. I can't believe that.
Can I ask, how did she create this following?
Facebook? Her blog, mostly her blog. She was a very gifted writer. And it started with the Bathroom Chronicles, and it just...
Didn't it morph into the other title?
Well, yeah, that is the official title is I Am Not My Asshole. The Colon Chronicles.
That's the official, yes.
But there's several of those early first posts are Bathroom Chronicles Part 1, Bathroom Chronicles Part 2. Little girl in the bathroom crying, dropped her thing in the toilet, conversations with moms and little kids. But then it you know, she really looked ugly in the face. Really looked ugly in the face. Mm-hmm. And called it out. And then,
Do you remember, is there any blog posts that you, either one of you remember that stands out to you?
Oh, God, of course, yes, The Elusive Hope. The Elusive Hope, yeah, that's, well, how this sort of all happened. She, had coffee with one of her teachers from Columbia. And again, just kind of those, oh, how you doing? What have you been doing since graduation? But, oh, yeah, well, I'm working all time school and I have cancer. You know, he was like, what? And, you know, again, somebody that was stunned. She said, well, yeah, but, you know, I got this blog and, I'm, she also joined a thing called the Colon Club. So she modeled 1 year. It's a 12 people with colon cancer. Model. There's a theme every year. Hers was stunningly beautiful. The whole calendar is beautiful. Better, I think, the best one of the 10 they did. And so she did some press for that and local press as well. Johnny Immerman, I don't know if you know who he is, Immerman Angels. They actually have TV commercials now. He's a local cancer survivor that has a volunteer organization that's really fabulous. He got her on Channel 7, and, you know, so she just kind of got a following. And even people would, like, comments on the blog, you know, would be not always so nice.
Right.
You know, she'd call them out, and what the fuck do you think you're, you know, who do you think you are? You have no idea, you know. But just that teacher from Columbia looked up the blog, read it all, and said, you know, there's a movie here. There's something here, and contacted her. So then there was a documentary that came from that. It went around the country. We were in Greece. We were We never made anything. Well, we made Woodstock. I was very happy about that. I was very happy about that.
And the premiere was at Old Town,
The
right?
premiere was at Old Town, yeah. Yes. The first, well, not the premiere, the first screening.
The first screening.
The first ever screening was at Old Town. There were about 12 other, like, that was 1.0. And then 1.2, 1.4, 2.0. I mean, it was reworked and reworked and reworked. But
what was the end title of the movie?
I'm a Visitor in Your World. And it is her voiceover reading her blog posts, interspersed with, you know, lots of medical stuff and the journey and student loans and Obamacare, because that happened during that time. My big scene is explaining that bankruptcy was actually a good thing. And once the pre-existing condition thing was gone, we didn't have to sweat. And the cap was a huge thing. Right. The insurance that she had at the time, her cap was $1.5 million.
Lifetime cap.
That was in 05. She was spending $200,000 a year. And as years progressed, that went up. And so she was just about out of insurance when Obamacare passed. People have no idea. Just no idea.
Right.
You know. But then, you know, the thing that Old Town did that I... seemed so stupid. They kept her on the payroll 2 years, I think. That was huge for her because she always thought she'd come back to work. And she tried a couple of times to come back to work. You know, that was never going to happen. But what job would keep sending you a paycheck that said 000, you know, and just and just the whole bookkeeping thing? Who would do that? But they just said, you know, when you're better.
When you can.
You can come back. It seems so stupid. I mean, that's such a little thing, but it was huge.
It was one less thing she had to worry about. And she, whenever she came back, it was always a party because everybody wanted to see her. Everybody wanted to talk to her. Everybody was like, I mean, we all kind of just rallied around her and just would just celebrate her every time that she would come to work. Especially like towards the end when she wouldn't be able to come in so often.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Old Town.
Well, you know, there was one funny little, what is the girl's name? Cheryl. I can't think of her last name.
Lawson.
And Vanessa.
Cheryl Lawson and Vanessa.
Early on, Beck had to have her treatments in the hospital. It was an insurance thing. So she was in there for 3 days. And one Sunday night, 10:30 maybe, Cheryl and Vanessa came to the hospital room, and Skokie Hospital, it's Rush North Shore, is only old people, pretty much. Beck was the youngest person on the floor. And they came with their guitars, and the nurse came in, and she's like, oh my God, you know, people are dying. I was like, I don't care, sorry. My Santa Rita tattoo, because that was Beck's favorite song, was Santa Rita, and they blasted that song, both of them banging on those guitars at 11 o'clock at night. You could hear it, you know, it was like, oh my God, but it's like, I don't care. If they're dying, okay, well, it's a good song to send them off. They'll get over it. Yeah. It was hilarious. I have it. That's why I don't get rid of my old cell phones. I have it on a cell phone video on my flip phone from years ago. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Lorena, did you, once you found out the news, mm-hmm. How did your relationship change with Beck? And, like, or what types of things would you do to...
Well,
we watched her ugly little dog.
Yeah, we it didn't really change anything, and I wasn't really one of those people that was just like falling apart that she had it put back together after she told me. It was just kind
of... Oh, that's
of,
nice.
It was just Becca was very much like her mom, very practical and very, you know, very matter of fact about it, and very sarcastic, and made a lot of jokes and very funny about it. So it wasn't, it was just one of those things that you just kind of, it was just another thing that she dealt with on a daily
she
basis.
She named her stoma.
Yes.
Stella Stoma.
Yes, she did. And, you know, we just, we would, it wasn't even like part of our relationship as much as like supporting her when she had her bowling parties or her fundraisers.
Yeah, those were
or
fun.
Or going to her house. Like, we went over for gumbo with Sanj one time.
Oh my God, yes.
And even, and I remember one time they were people, she would tell me sometimes that she would get annoyed when people felt like they couldn't ask her for things because she was sick or they couldn't include her on certain things. And I remember the time that I was going to Australia and I was in a jam because I had nobody to watch my dog, my ugly dog.
And he could win a contest. he's
beautiful.
Yeah.
He, so she was like, I'll do it. And, you know, she had her dog, Simon, and she was, you know, really, that was another thing we had in common was our dogs. And I remember thinking, it's probably not the best idea, but at the same time, like, she was offering, and I didn't want to be one of those people that was like, oh, well, you know.
You have a lot going on.
Right, yeah. So I was just like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah, yeah, I can do it. And then she did it, and she sent me hilarious pictures of my dog taking over her dog's bed and being in Australia and just feeling so, like, at ease that she was there. And then Mary was the one that basically took care of him. But anyway,
yes, I did.
Yeah.
But I thought I was like, oh my God, this dog looks like he's going to die any minute.
Right.
He's so old. What if something happens? Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I guess it's, I just wanted to like really talk about how Becca is still a part of Old Town. She's still,
she's got a brick.
She's got a brick.
She got two bricks.
Tell us about
a double
those.
Brick. Apparently you guys, that's some fundraiser thing you guys were doing in the garden, redoing the garden, and for I don't know how much it was, $500 maybe, maybe
like
more,
$250 or something.
You could get a memorial brick, and so she has a double brick back there, and it says from the Deskies, Becca Babcock, remembrance, and then I put some of her ashes in the around
the grout.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
so she's there.
Yeah, a couple of people have had lunch with her.
We had lunch with her.
They'll tell me. I went out and had the bench and had lunch with Beck today.
Yeah, in the back patio. Yeah. She's there. And she's in our office.
Yeah, is
always.
The picture still there?
There's two pictures of her. One where she is. It's the picture from the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the picture of her in full Brazilian regalia.
Emily, the capoeira teacher. That was one of her costumes from...
Vegas Night.
No, she danced at Carnival.
Oh, right. That was
Emily
her Carnival.
Yeah, Emily used to dance it, and so she was selling off her old costumes.
Yes. But Becca wore that Carnival costume to our Vegas night. It was our Old Town School open house Vegas night.
Oh, there was an Elvis guy,
and
right?
And there was an Elvis impersonator, and she was Viva Las Vegas in it.
Yeah, I have that on a cell phone video, too, shaking that tail feather to Elvis.
Yeah, and there's, oh, I guess there's a little one also of her. Where she was dressed up as, I think, Rainbow Bright.
Halloween, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we still have her little Enna Man. The little... Yep,
you do! Then you have the only surviving one. Someday send me a picture of that.
I will.
Because you have the only surviving one. They're gone now. They stopped doing that.
Yeah. And what do you feel when you look at those photos and see those videos? What is it?
Well, she's missed. Every day. You know, unrealized potential. Don't know what that girl could have done. She could have done something. I mean, she did do
many
things.
She did a lot.
But,
she did so much.
You know.
She reached so many people. She touched so many lives all around the world.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I try to, you know, occasionally keep up with the guy from Lebanon that sends me pictures. And, you know, the Colon Club has changed a lot. But she's still a big part of that organization as well. And, you know, her blog's still up. Her there's several things still up, right, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. No, she's very present in our Old Town family, because that's the thing that Old Town does, is it introduces you to people and from all kinds of different places, different walks of life, and you just
they hold on to the old hippie values. That's tough, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when somebody broke into Armitage, got over that little space and stole a guitar and something else, and everyone was just so horror, just in shock and disbelief that they could ever be robbed. Because
it's the Old Town School.
It's the Old Town School. Who would do that? You know, our doors are always open. Well, the guy walked, and the guy in the different strummer that walked out with the Fender Stratocaster walked right out of the store, right out of the building. Nobody noticed, because it's Old Town School. You're not thinking everyone is, you know, evil and out to get you. It's, you know. And the fact that they didn't, you know, close the store down and fire anybody. It's just kind of, well, okay. You know, got to rise above.
Right.
Got to hold on to that, you know.
That spirit.
Yeah. Is Baugh still running the place?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't really know him well, but he spoke at her memorial, which kind of surprised me.
Right. We did have a memorial at Old Town School, and it was
fabulous.
It was a beautiful celebration.
It was fabulous.
Lots of Old Town artists, teachers performed.
I'll Fly Away, my fave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people knew that, you know, and
when it was played.
Jesse, and yeah, and then Funkadaisy did their No Woman, No Cry drum line out the door. Yeah, it was perfect. I didn't know what I was going to do with that, because, you know, there are chores you have to do, and I was not really feeling it. And I thought, oh, no, this is perfect. It's on Vimeo, if you ever want to see it. If you like memorial services, it's on
it's
Vimeo.
It's the one to watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Talented people.
She'll be missed. She is missed. But she's present with us every day.
Me too. I have a little of her in my bag. I have a bubble vial. Got some ashes in it. You know, you never know.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.